Today, we are here to talk about 9 impact productivity hacks tailored for the demands of CEOs and top executives. And if you want to become more productive, stop wasting time, and actually improve your life so you have more free time and probably make more money, I would think, this is certainly the interview for you. We should hopefully have a really good conversation, as we normally do. It's nice to be joined by Stephen J. Manning again. He built a very large marketing business in the 1980s. He grew that into something that did over $1.2 billion a year and had thousands of employees. So he knows a lot about productivity hacks. And I mean, I think I've made a list here in no particular order. We have the themed days or time blocking. And I think time blocking for me is certainly a very important thing. And you know, I don't really do the daily sort of things. So like today I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, but I do time block. What do you think about that, Steve?
Necessary. I'm going to start out by giving whoever wants one a really meaningful tip. One, do create a time block, topic block. This is something you must address and has to be done, running out of time, critical, whatever, it has to be done. So you now have to devote specific time to that. Okay, today is Tuesday. This afternoon, no, tomorrow morning, I have to do this. I'm going to block out the time for it. That accomplishes 2 things. I have found that this works for me. Here's late afternoon, evening. I am really troubled. I'm preoccupied. I'm stressed. Stress is a bad word. I'm motivated because I have a thing I must deal with. Good, bad, positive, negative. Of course, it's not a good thing when it's negative. It's a problem. I must deal with this problem. And here I'm at midnight and I can't sleep. And then I settle down and I say, okay, I've already blocked out 2 hours at 10 in the morning to do this. It should take me an hour to 2 hours, but no matter what else, I am going to devote 2 hours to that 10 in the morning and I will resolve it. The simple act of identifying a specific purpose time block. Wednesday, 10 a.m. Come hell or high water, unless it's a family emergency, that's what I'm going to do. Then I can take a deep breath and go to sleep because I'm well on my way to fixing it, resolving it. Because I know to certainty it will get my full, undivided, complete attention at 10 o'clock in the morning. And at 10 in the morning, I have made that commitment myself. I know I slept well because I have made that commitment. And when I dive into it, I am full of energy, full of vigor, because I know I've got 2 hours and I will fix that. Otherwise, hell, I won't sleep again. I won't sleep next. A devoted time block, devote to a specific topic. It is golden, even if, how many times you say, oh, you catch a headline in the news or hear something, oh, I got to read about that. That's really intriguing. It's meaningful for me. Well, you're saying that again a week later and 2 weeks later, and then life goes by too fast.
Yeah.
No, I will read this tomorrow. And how many times in the course of theoretically not work time, late afternoon, evenings, nighttime, do I send myself a reminder email? I don't put it on a calendar. I send myself an email because I know I'm not going to miss that.
Right.
At 11 o'clock, call Nat Schooler and resolve that business question.
Right.
Unless it's a family emergency, there's nothing else in my life that is that important. The world's not going to cave in. Mm-hmm. The building's not going to cave in. If I do that an hour later, but 11 o'clock, I am so energized, so focused, because I know exactly what I'm going to do, how I'm going to accomplish it. That is my tip of the morning.
Right. So, I suppose that leads quite nicely into the Eisenhower matrix and actually working out the importance of these things. Because if you're listening to this and you've never heard of the Eisenhower matrix, do go and check it out. It's basically, it ranks things in terms of importance. So important, do it now, schedule it, delegate it, eliminate it. So it's not important and important, basically. But things become urgent, don't they? If something is important, it can then become urgent if it's not taken care of, right? So it's a question of getting your head around that. And then you can obviously block out this time blocks that you're talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to read about the Eisenhower Matrix, the last time we wrote about that was in the Monday Influencer Abstract that was published yesterday morning. It's a very, very efficient, very simple way to prioritize all the tsunami of everything coming your way. And it's just important, how important, not important now, immediate. It's very important, but I can, and I need to schedule to do it right away. Well, this is important, but it can wait. This is not important. It can wait forever. That's the simple language. Eisenhower was a little more eloquent about it. The point being, another tip of the day. How many times do you and I, in our consultative work, advisory work, we'll look at a client and say, I'm confused. Why exactly are you doing that? Well, and the answers you get are anywhere from you're fired to shouldn't we be doing that? And how often do I get to say, when you explain the immediate benefit of that, other than it's a vanity project, what does that mean? Well, something you know you can do well, and it makes you feel good. Now, how does that feed the hungry kids? How does that keep you from going into a disaster mode? And to take up on something you said, the Eisenhower matrix, to some extent, will point you away from the disaster environment. For example, you prioritize top of the Eisenhower matrix. Very important, must do now. Well, then there's next thing that's very important, schedule it. Let me explain the difference. If it's a biggie, not an elegant word, but we all use it, it's a biggie. It's going to hurt your business. It has a potential regulatory agency interference, disaster, disastrous loss of market share, a revolt among your own staff, etc. That elevates to the top level as Eisenhower matrix, as much as you don't want to address it because it's not fun. Oh, it's difficult. It's expensive. It's terrible. Trialsome. It's sleepless nights. Tip number two. Fixing that problem, addressing that need, whether it's immediate or emergent, it's coming. It's a freight train. You're going to hear it. Fixing it now may be uncomfortable, maybe expensive, maybe a lot of things. Not fun. And I want to relate the quick story. Not fun. That has a cost. It has a cost of resources. You're going to spend money, time to fix. You've got money. You got to spend money, et cetera, et cetera. That has a cost. And when you look at it and say, oh, God, that's going to be really expensive. Challenging and all that. Okay, fine. Don't do it. And this is what I preach to my own kids, who thankfully are really, really, really very, very successful adults. You don't want to address it now for the aforementioned reasons. Without a doubt, 3 months from now, 2 months from now, whatever, the darn thing just blows up. Goes from this is not good to this is going to be bad to okay, now it's triage. For those of you who don't relate to triage, is what happens when the victims are bleeding. They're doing triage on the street trying to keep them alive. The difference between solving it now when you don't want to, it's expensive, where it's on the Eisenhower matrix up here, but you don't want to deal with it, and triage, well, triage, you may not be able to stop the bleeding too. If you do, it will be exponentially more costly in every way, and you will walk away, best case scenario, oh, I think we avoided a disaster. I think. War to the wise. A lesson I learned from Ronald Reagan. When you solve problems on a 3x5 card, the solution looks really good for a little while. And then all the bad baggage shows up. The first thing you do is throw the 3x5 card and you're not in the Fukuzami 1.7 petaflops computer to fix the darn thing. War to the wise. How about we avoid the triage? Mind the Eisenhower matrix, put that on a little bit of card and stick it on there somewhere. And when you look at something and say, now, where does that fit? Well, I like doing that. I had a project a little bit ago. I was hired by, oddly, one member of the board. Now, he was the only one on that board who had no demonstrable competency in that kind of business. He was like a legacy guy who used to sell them insurance back in the day. The founder had found this for him. Well, the son, who's 6'7", 245-pound former linebacker in the NFL, is running this business. And the problem is that why are the sales lacking? Why are they ignoring 80% of the potential revenue, although it's there for the taking? Imagine running a big business, big building. Where's the building? Oh, it's built on a waterway. Why? That's because so the CEO can drive his very big boat to work every morning. Now, so you have 20 of the top 40 industrial manufacturers in the world asking to buy your product. And you don't return, your sales force does not return the calls. Ooh. They don't respond to the emails. You go to a show, you have 30 people show up. How come you don't want to sell me? Says General Motors. Oof. We'll get around to it. My job was to figure out what the heck was going on. Now, this is the first and only project I can remember when I said in a matter of one day, we can increase sales by 500%.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
But senior dude loved the boat thing. Loved having his inside woodworkers doing the magnificent trappings. And sure as heck loved putting on a tuxedo to get awards from an industry segment that happened to be 20% of their business. Thus ignored the other 80. That's a vanity project.
Right.
That was really the easiest thing I have ever done as an advisor. I mean, it took 3 interviews with senior staff to say, wait, it's rarely that I'm left speechless beyond, are you kidding? Like, you really do that? Okay. Take a look at what you're doing. How much are you going to spend in your day doing stuff you really like? That's not going to do you any good other than to make you feel good. Now, you should do that too. But I don't know how to tell you, when the building's on fire, you may want to cancel your haircut appointment.
Yeah.
You love the way your hair looks.
Yeah.
You know, I'm canceling that when the building's fire. That's
cool. But we all have things that we enjoy doing, right? And hopefully you enjoy the majority of what you do. Which is brilliant,
but
you have to get. I love what I do, right? But you have to get the most important things done, or otherwise everything else just falls around you, falls to pieces. But the thing is, this leads into the next couple of points. The number 3 is the 2-minute rule. So, popularized by David Allen, it's very simple. If something comes to you, you can do it in 2 minutes. Get it done. right? If you're obviously not focused on what you're doing and you're just taking in, you know, because we all have things that come at us, right? And we might decide, okay, I'm going to look at my emails now, right? So that fits into the time blocking element, right? Because if you're looking at your emails all day, you're looking at your messages all day, you're not blocking your time out, you're not productive at all. So that 2 minute rule is a really important thing that I do.
But tip number three, I think.
Yep, 2 minute rule.
You have to learn this, or the hold on a minute equivalent of that. Hold on now. Hold that thought for a minute. Well, okay. The way you do that is that the 2 minute interruption, the 2 minute thing, is an interruption to whatever you're doing. And you may be doing the 2 hour thing you blocked out, which means you're focused narrowly. The car will get fixed. Somebody's going to pick up the kid from the dentist, whatever else. 2 hours are devoted to something that school and I are doing this morning. And by the way, it's time specific, it's deadline specific, and it's a cool thing. It must be done. You have to learn to do this. Now, because Nathaniel Schooler, ladies and gentlemen, will tell you that when you're immersed in something that's mental, if you will, an activity, and you get interrupted while you're in the flow, you will take 23 minutes to come back. Now, I am broadcasting from my studio here, my door. On the other side door, there's a piece of paper because they didn't want to buy a flashing light. It's a massive red globe. In other words, I close the door, there's a red globe. So you want to open my door, there's a big old red globe that says stop. That's not to say that doors aren't open. And somebody say, I have a question. And I become very upset because I am in a proverbial zone. I'm talking to Schooler about something important. I'm writing something. And there's a thread of thought there. And I am unraveling that spool of thought as I go around. And now I'm interrupted. And now I sit there and say, okay. And I try not to get very angry. It's okay. I'll take the 2 minutes. But I also, you understand, you just interrupted my train of thought here. It's going to take me half an hour to get back to what I want.
You just did that to me. That was number eight. And now that's number four. For real. Well done.
But the 2 minute thing is, my answer to that is, if I can remain focused on what I'm devoting the time to right now, I can say, I will be back to you in 1 hour.
Yeah,
exactly. Now from now, you're not going to get 2 minutes, 4, 10, 20, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm writing about the Gordian knot. Is the building on fire, personally or otherwise? I'm all yours. Forget the rest. But otherwise, just be mindful that when you're interrupting people who are engaged in a creative pursuit, you are taking your 2 minutes, will take them a half an hour, and a bunch of anxiety. Oh, gosh.
Because they could have been like a breakthrough moment as well, right? So it is going to be like that. But
correct.
On to the next one, which is now number five, because reducing interruptions moved up the numbers. So number five is task management and lean management, right? So for example, I'm in the process of designing a podcast studio. Okay, so I can just speak about my own personal daily, weekly tasks. But I'm also in the process of working with you, Steve, on creating a new header and a new style for Monday Influencer, right? So I just thought I'm gonna design my podcast studio. And if you like it, then we could use it for the header image for the newly updated Monday Influencer website. So everything can just flow in a really easy, lean way. And it's just like, just not wasting time, right? Not wasting time by because I used to waste so much time. I would do this. If I hadn't sat down and thought, hold on a minute, why don't I do that? But you have to think. This is the whole point. All of this takes thinking time. The theme days, the Eisenhower matrix, reducing interruptions, the 2-minute rule, and the lean management of tasks. It takes thinking, it takes practice, and it means that you've got to sit down. And I love a piece of paper and a pen. A piece of paper and a pen for me is the thing. Because it removes all distraction. Yeah. And it because these devices, I'm talking about this for 8, 9, 10 weeks. We've been talking about this. They are so addictive that we do get these addictions to our devices that will destroy any productivity that we actually could have, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you'd like to add on the lean management side of things?
Yes. What I would like to add is two things. Remember one of our mantras. You are the architect of your own success. I have been preaching for, I hate to say how long, because how old am I? I think I'm getting old enough where my thought processes will catch up with my chronological age. We can always hope and pray. I was way too young when I was preaching to a lot of people my age, younger and older, typically older. I grew up too fast to say, you understand that you will create your own limits. And you look at someone who can accomplish, who have the goods, the tools, the inner strength, education, experience, whatever it is, but mainly personality traits, not education per se, education for short rather than specific. You understand that you will create your own limits. Okay, so, what do I know about building a studio? Have you done that before? No. Why can't you do it now? You have what it takes to build a studio. It's already in your brain. I want to get another job. I want to get a raise. You are your own worst enemy when you don't do it. Now, here's how you become your own best friend, is I really need to get a raise. Now, let's not confuse. There are differences. I need to get a raise. I want to get a raise. 3, I should get a raise. Okay, now, every one of us wants to get a darn raise. I remember asking my boss when I was in my 20s that I really want a raise. I really need and want a raise. And he looked at me and said, Booby, I do too. And I said, with due respect, you're worth $100 million. I'm just getting by. He said, we all want a raise. Okay. So I stopped asking for a raise that way. Word to the wise, another tip for this morning. Get really clear on how to ask for a raise. You don't know how? Read the Monday Influencer. We tell you that over and over. We devote it. I wrote 2 or 3 pieces that have been well published on how to get a raise. What do you mean how to get a raise?
Steve. Did we record a video on that? Maybe that would be a
video. We recorded at least one video on that.
I think we did. Yeah.
Okay. I will be too long with this. Bottom line is, you are the architect of your success. And 2, you will create your own limits. I worked for a little bitty company. When I went to work there as a 21-year-old, it was small and it was insolvent, as in broke. And when I left that company after nearly 20 years, it was far from broke. It was the most successful privately held business in the entire industry. I was in my 30s. I decided to see the world. Grew it that big. And against my best wishes, my two chairmen insisted on the going away party, which I will not regale you with. The highlight of my business career is that there were 150 invited management people, table settings and all that, and 500 operations people from buildings here and there, line people, truck drivers, forklift people, crashed the party and lined the room. Now, you can't throw them out because then they won't show up to work in the morning, but that may be the highlight of my business career. And the last thing I said, and ties into this, is I said to all the people assembled, the 150 management people and the 400 or 500 operations folks, I said, the greatest advantage you have working here is that you will create your own success. You are the limit to your future success. You will be the limit. This company, we built it to afford you the opportunity to grow. Listen, the 19-year-old kid over there is running a little building with 500,000 square feet and 700 people. And he told me he really didn't speak English well enough to do it. He's 19 years old. He's been, last I heard, he's in charge of distribution for the biggest automobile parts supplier in the world. I'm assuming that he speaks English really well. But the point being is that you are the architect of success. You will create your own limits. Tying into a little bitty thing about how to ask for a raise, do look us up. We talk about that, and it's very specific. And it's by the time you get through 2-3 minutes, you say, oh, sure, of course. You know what? Yeah, yeah. A lot of things are, of course, in hindsight.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I mean, on to these next few, the exercise and hydration element is very important. Hydration is more important in my perspective than exercise. You should always, I know you're a believer in that, you should always have water to be drinking all the time. You need to drink water. And that is crucial, actually. But in terms of the exercise, I do a lot of exercise. It clears my brain from stress. It gives me some thinking time, because if you're exercising, you can't be looking at your phone unless you're sitting on a treadmill, or, you know, I mean, sitting on a bike and looking at your phone. But what's the point of that? You need to clear your brain. And that is my personal superpower, to be able to just take that and run with it and not be stressed out too much, so I can't do things, because of the stress of where you are in your job or your business, if you have a business, those things can paralyze you from taking action. And the problem is that when you're paralyzed to take action, you're actually going to create a worse situation for yourself than you're in at the moment. And generally, God may not deliver you what you need. You know, if you pray to God and say, please help me, I need to mow the lawn. You know, your lawnmower is not going to mow the lawn for you, right? As you
say. Neither lawnmower nor Tony Robbins are going to mow your lawn.
yeah, exactly. So,
you know, I have to tell you that exercise-wise, I used to compete at a very high level in two different sports. It was a very big part of my life. And in terms of getting out, I think for 2 decades, I ran 5 to 12 miles a day every single day, runs, rain, snow, sleet, sub-zero, wherever I was in the world. It was, I'm told, an addiction. But it kept my brain sharp. And by the way, when I was out there running and at 0 degrees along Lakeshore Drive or 110 in Sub-Saharan somewhere, I was composing emails in my head.
Right.
And it was the clarity of thinking while I'm breathing was phenomenal. And by the way, speaking of hydration, well, I don't know. I figured that the good people that make this bottle of water will send me an email by Friday if I don't pick up another 40 bottles. So I'm going to pick up another case for 40 bottles. And I'll get this little email. Dear Steve, is everything okay? Because the amount of bottled water we buy is absurd. Why? Because you can't really drink the water in Los Angeles.
It's not that good, expect to live
a fruitful life. But, you know,
it's not that good, yeah.
You know, yeah. I can't exercise. You mean you can't take a walk for 15 minutes?
Exactly.
Give me a break.
Exactly. And put your phone down. The point is these blocks of work then followed by exercise. There's a Pomodoro method. You can look into that. I like the 52-minute work with a 17-minute break when I do it. But to be honest, when I'm in a really creative pursuit, like to drag me away is very difficult. I can't take a break because I'm too into the moment of it. And maybe I am harming my productivity by being too focused and spending too long doing that task, maybe 2 hours, 3 hours, but it depends on the task. It's all about the task that you're doing and exactly how you like to work as well. Absolutely. Because we're all different, right?
You know, Nathaniel, I as you know, my body clock set at 3:30 in the morning. I don't know why. And when I wake up at 3:37, I'm confused. Because at 3:30 is when I'm supposed to wake up. Now, you made a very, very salient point. I think that you should give yourself a break every hour. Get up, stretch your legs, clear your mind, get some more, get another bottle, or whatever it is. I think that's a great idea. But what you said, okay, so I will sit down sometime, maybe it's 9 o'clock at night. And it's 9 o'clock at night, it's getting toward the end of my long day because I've been at it since 3:30. But I need to write this. And I start to write it. And then I have found out years and years ago that often when I'm the most tired is when I'm most productive in writing. There's something about maybe I feel subconsciously real pressure of time. But the output is qualitatively very better and quantitatively. And I'm doing this, I'm saying, I gotta get some sleep. Heck, it's 2:15. Okay, it's 2:45 in the morning. And by 3:30, what's the point? Might as well stay up. And it's an amazing thing where a guy my age, I'm used to time zones, I'm used to knock down, drag out, war mentality and work. And I said to somebody yesterday morning, I said, I'm going to go beat up on Mercedes-Benz of North America. I have an issue. Well, I said, no, I need a break. Really? Well, I pulled an all-nighter. In other words, you didn't go to sleep? No, I haven't. I haven't gone to sleep yet. So the way I'm going to refresh my mind, I'm going to go to war with one of the biggies. It's good.
I love that. But, it makes me laugh.
Yeah, but, you know, so the point is, you know what? I'll fall asleep at 9:30 tonight with something insipid on the television set. It's okay. You can't recover sleep, by the way. It's a little bit. I missed 8 hours or 4 or 5 hours of sleep. I'm going to recover tomorrow. That doesn't work that way.
But no, it doesn't.
It's okay. It's some wear and tear that you get over. But I think there's a lot to be said for now. If you're working on things that are repetitive in nature, productive in production stuff in there by nature, also data analytics, for example, data crunching and all of that, you better take that 17 minutes or whatever it is every hour or seven every hour and just go chill out. Because pretty soon every two is going to look like a seven. Pretty soon every one look like a zero. So you know what? Take a chill pill there for a minute. Get that drink of water, stretch your legs. Otherwise, your physician will tell you you're going to die if you don't stretch your legs. And do that. And, you know, down a bottle of water and you refresh, ready to roll. However, if you're in the middle of writing the next Great Gatsby, or your client wants a 17-page letter to a regulatory agency and you're in a flow, put up the big red sign. Don't barge through the door. And then if it takes whatever it takes, your mind continues to go and the body will not, it's going to revolt when you're done, not in the middle of it. Word to the wise, your body will revolt maybe after you're done, not during. And then it's the weirdest thing and you'll forgive the immodesty of it. Sometimes you'll find yourself in that flow and then that moment there, I really should go to the bathroom. And then you forget that. How do you forget having to go to the bathroom? Imagine being on that railroad track, turbo boost. Where you say, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom later. What do you mean? It's not good for you, though. That's also uncomfortable.
No. Anyway. It's not good.
You know what? Fantastic, isn't it? When you encounter those moments of intense productivity.
Yeah.
You can't help it. You just got to, man, you rock and roll.
100%. But also, we need to remind people that when you're taking this break, looking at your phone when you're taking that break does not count. That is not part of your break, because if you're using a screen, this is if you're using a screen, right? It and you're working really, really hard to do something, taking a break and looking at your phone is not a break. Okay, so let me be clear about that. So on to number 8. Is downtime. And that's basically, this is part of downtime, but actually downtime could be going to eat Hungarian goulash, right? And I must say, I'm sorry, Steve, but I had a delicious Hungarian goulash on Saturday. It was just cooked in the pot over the gas. It was like just,
well, you know, you're really hurting me. You know that, right?
I'm so, I know I am. I know,
because
it hurt.
And as you know, I was born and raised in Transylvania, which is Romania, but it used to be Hungary, Hungarian speaking, and so on.
Wait. Do you still speak Romanian?
I speak Hungarian and Romanian.
Aha, because Christian,
we were raised
my friend.
We were raised dual tongue.
My friend, he's been practicing Romanian recently. And he speaks Hungarian. So when you meet him, you guys are going to be gabbling away. I'm going to be like, what the hell are these guys talking about?
And to be sure, we will be talking about you.
Probably.
The blasphemy of my the horror of it. There are no
But that's
Hungarian
okay, because I have no desire.
There are no Hungarian restaurants left in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's a shame, really, because the Hungarian food is actually incredible. Like Hungarian breakfast in Budapest is amazing. Yeah, I mean, people, if you're watching this, you don't know me. Maybe I actually live in Croatia. So for me, I could go to Budapest. I could drive there in 5 hours, 6 hours, and I could be having Hungarian breakfast. Yeah, but that could be my next bit of downtime, going to the spa, going to the natural spas in Hungary is a good thing for the winter time. Very good. And for me, downtime actually is brilliant like that, because you can't look at your phone. You're in a spa, yeah? You're not going to take your phone into the spa unless you're kind of weird, right? And you can relax in those natural thermal waters. And there's some sort of water on the side there that you get out of a tap that looks kind of white. It's kind of like, and people, and it's like supposed to be really healthy. It does taste not that amazing.
It tastes a little, it has enough chemicals in it to kill you.
Yeah, but chalky as well.
I have to share that, I had a business in Europe for 2 decades, and my headquarters were in Budapest. Not because of my affinity with the country or the food or anything else. It was geographically so central that made sense from a distribution standpoint. Since we started Absolutely. With the former Eastern Bloc countries, you know, Romania, Hungary, Romania, Slovakia, Czech Republic, Poland, et cetera, the Russian Republic, and so on, Budapest made a lot of sense. Now, often I spent a week out of my month in that world for years and years and years. And often enough, and of course, I love Hungarian food because I grew up on it. And my long deceased mother, who of course being my mother was the greatest cook in the history of mankind, often enough, well, I typically used to fly from Los Angeles to Frankfurt, Frankfurt to Budapest. Often I would sit back and say, nah, I'm tired. Gosh, I haven't done this in 3 weeks. And in the meantime, I also did a round trip to New York. So, you know, I lived on airplanes and I would fly into Frankfurt and fly to Vienna, pick up a car and drive to Budapest. A lovely drive. Their nice idea drive of heavy traffic is 3 cars at a red light.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
Traffic jam. There are 3 cars.
No traffic.
Anyway, one of the reasons I drove that, because at this particular border crossing, the number of them, I could drive my car at 100 miles an hour to the border crossing, and there was a line of 8 miles, 10 miles long of trucks waiting to cross the border. There was a lot of stolen Chechen uranium in there. Anyway, exactly 5 minutes inside the border, there's a roadside restaurant. It's called a Chardo, but it's there. And I would put the wear and tear on my body to do the detour, drive it, so I could sit there and eat the greatest Hungarian goulash made in the entire Eastern Hemisphere. In this little bitty joint, right on the other side of the border, I would actually fly to the wrong place and drive 3 hours just to eat that. And of course, the pickles were probably illegal. And so you talk about, you know what? Some people think that's frivolous. That's a terrible waste of time, a terrible investment of time, particularly that when I got there, I would work 20-hour days for a week. You know, I worked literally 20-hour days for a week and then go home. And there is a great deal to be said for those two-minute things that actually add to the quality of your life. Are you insane? You're driving. You got off the plane, 12 hours. You can drive 3 hours. Why don't you just fly there? No. I'm going to drive countryside, listen to music, and maybe I'll clear my mind. But I know that once I cross the border, I'm going to have the greatest Hungarian goulash that exists in the world. You know?
Exactly.
It's worth that. By the way, back to something Nathaniel said a moment ago, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to pick up a talk we did, an expert talk we did on the benefits of wasting time.
Oh, yeah, I'll drop that link at the bottom. I'll drop that link somewhere.
How do you waste time and why? And what's the benefit?
Yeah, it's very, very good. But I do think reducing interruptions, we've already done that. So now we are on to number 9. And this is an important one. And you've obviously done that with the people who are in your home. You train people how to contact you in emergency situations versus more less important times. So for example, I actually pretty much mute everybody on WhatsApp unless I work very closely with them or they need to get hold of me in emergency. They are muted because actually nobody is that important, really, usually, apart from direct family members and people who are really, really important in your life. No one should be able to contact you, as far as I'm concerned, because those situations
my rule is very simple.
Throw you off. But it's for me, I say to you, okay, Steve, if you want me in an emergency, just send me a WhatsApp or call me on WhatsApp. But if it's work related, we can do it on email, no problem. But I do check my email quite a lot and that does pop up. But if people overstep the mark by messaging you all the time, like I don't on a platform, you need to train them and say, look, if it's not that important, would you mind just sending me a message somewhere else? Because it's a diversion from your focus, because you have to focus or you're not going to be productive at all. So that's my take completely, really, on this.
Nathaniel, I've been checking my email since we created, the commercial email space. I mean, I was checking email, but I didn't know anybody else who had an email address. Now, we are our own enemies to some to the extent that we have trained people around us. They know we're going to respond. They know because we do. Now, the question, the thing that's perturbing is I get email all day, as you do, and all night. And then I will get the text message that says, I sent you an email, you haven't responded. Okay. Now, the thing that I engage on is this. Please differentiate really important to you and really important. You want that goulash recipe because you're about to cook dinner. That's important to you, and it's important in and of itself, but not enough to interrupt Tommy, who's inside somebody's brain with sharp instruments. And my friend Tommy is inside people's brains with sharp instruments all day long. And so sometime at 3 a.m, I'll get an email. I was busy. Okay. I'm astounded by people who send me text saying, you haven't responded to my email. And then I don't respond to the text immediately. 3 minutes later, I got another text with a question mark. Okay. Ooh. I think I created a monster. So is it important in and of itself, or just important to you, or is this a problem? Now, as it relates to family, friends, people important to me, if they really believe that they're in a situation that for whatever reason, I'm the last call or call the last resort or the next call you must make, break the door down. Feel free. Call the security office and they'll send up two guys in suits to break my door down. Yeah. I'm okay with that. We will recover. Thank God I'm not that important, nor are there enough situations. It has happened. It does happen. Because of some of the work we do, we're called upon to do conflict resolution. There's enough emergencies that people perceive, real or perceived, that right. All of a sudden you're the next call. Right. Not a good thing to call me when you're at the emergency room at Columbia Presbyterian in New York City at 2 a.m. on New Year's Eve because you're really messed up. You may want to call somebody important. Yeah, well, I worked for you for 10 years and you will outthink the doctors. Seriously? Are you still drunk? But that happens. But the bottom line is, if you want me and you're just, good people listening and watching this, there is a distinction between people in your life. And there are some people in your life that get the benefit of you. And everything you stand for, everything you can do, would do, whatever, they get that benefit when most other people don't and don't deserve to. Why? Because it's that important to you. So if that schooler wakes me up at 4 a.m, 2 a.m, with something that's really important to him, I will be available to him if that's what he wants and needs. And yes, I will catch the 6 o'clock flight out of L.A., to somehow make my way to Zagreb or whatever. So
that's very nice, Steve. But to be fair, though, Steve, to be fair, there are probably only two things that could happen in the middle of the night. A bear could smash my gate open, and 200 kilo bear could smash my gate open, run into the garden, and mess around with my washing, right? Or what else? My house could burn down. But both of those things are highly unlikely. So you're good.
But it does happen.
Oh no! Wait! I've got another one. The wolves and the wild jackals. But they're kind of scared. Most of them are scared.
Well, we have a lot of wild jackals in LA.
It's weird.
But we also have a large police department. Now, you know, but you thought, Nathaniel, it's a thing where you get that call at 2 a.m. and it's your best friend's wife who says, he just got cracked up in a taxi cab in New York City. The neck is broken 3 places. Oof. They're going to operate on him at 7, 8 a.m. And that's when you call a fixed-based operator in Van Nuys or in Santa Monica and say, how quickly can I be wheels up? Which is a half hour in LA. Because I have to get there. Now, I'm not going to help the surgeon do his thing or the team do his thing, but there are 4 kids and a wife, and that is my best friend in the world, other than my wife. And I need to be there. Those things, thank God, don't happen much, if at all. I've had the displeasure of that happening to me. And you sit there and say, how would I feel about me if I did not show up? So those things happen.
Well, that's the point.
But we are here having a little bit of fun with what is a really heavy topic. And we just talked twice as long as we intended to.
I know. I wasn't looking at the time. I'm sorry about that. It kind of flew by. But I want to thank you, Steve, and thank everyone for watching. And if you didn't get any value from this, then probably just lose any contact details you have for me. Literally lose my number, lose my email. Just forget about me completely, and Steve, you're dead to Steve.
But hold on. But keeping with the thing, one of the things we do, whatever is wrong with you, we probably know some professionals can address that for you.
Yeah.
You know?
We know somebody who, don't we?
We know somebody who may help you get out of the straitjacket they're going to put you into.
But there'll be links if you want to sign up to Monday Influencer. There'll be links, and if you are signed up already, we love you. We love you guys, and we're so happy that you're enjoying our great education. Thank you.
Thank you.